Part 3. Questions 21 to 35. In this part, you will hear three talks or lectures. There are 5 questions for each talk or lecture. For each question, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D. You will hear the talks or lectures only once. Questions 21 to 25.
You will hear a talk about learning a language.
I want to talk about learning languages. I've lived in many different countries, both in Western Europe, the Middle East, and now here in Hong Kong. And during all of that time, I've learned 5 or 6 different languages to one degree or another. I love learning languages. Not only are they important when you move to a country, I just find them fascinating. Before I came to Hong Kong, I lived in Barcelona, Spain for 10 years. And when I first arrived, the most important thing was being able to communicate with people locally. I don't attend classes. I don't think I'm particularly good in classes. I prefer to learn by just talking to people, finding out what I need to say by looking at dictionaries and listening carefully. Other things that helped me when I first moved to Spain were watching the typical kinds of programs we see every day on channels around the world. For example, the weather. This is great because they always say the same things, so you can really quickly hear the same words repeated again and again, and the pictures help, of course. Other types of program that helped me learn Spanish quickly were things like game shows, where the same thing happens. They have a catchphrase or a slogan that they repeat endlessly when contestants win or when they're called to compete. As well as that, I used to pick up the Spanish newspapers. First of all, I just accepted there was no way I was going to understand anything but 1 or 2 words. But gradually, I found that I learned lots of new things about this. I was interested because I wanted to know what was happening in the country I lived in. But I also knew that I could learn a lot of language this way. So I'd take a dictionary with me sometimes, or I'd notice a word and I'd ask other people what they said, what it meant. Anyway, by far the best practice I ever had was just talking to people in the street or in shops where I'd rehearse in my head what I wanted to say beforehand before I went in. Usually, I made a right mess of it, first of all. But after you get over the embarrassment, it's quite funny, really, and people are very sympathetic and supporting in most cases. It took me a long time to develop a good level of Spanish. I lived there for 10 years, and I think I'm very fluent now. But I think for the first 2 years that I was there, it was quite a struggle to hold a decent conversation. There were always lots of words and expressions that I didn't pick up on. In particular were the colloquial expressions, idioms, that kind of thing, that people use in everyday talk, but you don't necessarily see written down. I didn't find those very easy to learn at all. But it was a lot of fun, and people, as I said, are really supporting when they know that you're genuinely interested in learning their language.
Questions 26 to 30.
You will hear a talk about aging society.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker for today's plenary address, Dr. Howard Miller. Dr. Miller, professor of sociology at Washington University, has written numerous articles and books on the issues facing older Americans in our graying society for the past 15 years. Dr. Miller?
Thank you for that introduction. Today I'd like to preface my remarks from a story from my own life, which I feel highlights our common concerns that bring us here together. Several years ago, when my grandparents were well into their 80s, they were faced with the reality of no longer being able to adequately care for themselves. My grandfather spoke of his greatest fear, that of leaving the only home they had known for the past 60 years. Fighting back the tears, he spoke proudly of the fact that he had built their home from the ground up, and that he had pounded every nail and laid every brick in the process. The prospect of having to sell their home and give up their independence and move into a retirement home was an extremely traumatic experience for them. It was, in my grandfather's own words, like having a limb severed off. He was quite emphatic, exclaiming that he felt he wasn't important anymore. For them and some older Americans, their so-called golden years are at times not so pleasant, for this period can mean the decline of not only one's health, but the loss of identity and self-worth. In many societies, this self-identity is closely related with our social status, occupation, material possessions, or independence. Furthermore, we often live in societies that value that which is new or in vogue, and our own usage of lexicon in the English language often does not bode well for older Americans. I mean, how would your family react if you came home tonight elated, exclaiming, "Hey, come to the living room and see the old black and white TV I brought"? Unfortunately, the word old conjures up images of the need to replace or discard. Now, many of the lectures given at this conference have focused on the issues of pension reform, medical care, and the development of public facilities for senior citizens. And while these are vital issues that must be addressed, I'd like to focus my comments on an underlying issue that will affect the overall success of the other programs mentioned. This has to do with realigning our perspectives on what it means to be part of this group and finding meaningful roles the elderly can play and should play in our societies. First of all, I'd like to talk about
Questions 31 to 35.
You will hear a talk about British festivals.
I'm going to talk about British festivals. I'm sure you've heard about the Notting Hill Carnival in London.
Yeah!
Woo!
And the Edinburgh Festival. But today, we're going to look at a lot more that you might not know about. Actually, a lot of these are not exactly festivals, but strange races or competitions. Some of them are ancient and some are modern. So, let's start in January in the north of Scotland, with the burning of the clavey. This is a whiskey barrel which is set alight, then carried through the streets as a bonfire. It's an ancient tradition which always takes place on the 11th of January, the first day of the year, according to an older form of the calendar. The bonfire brings good luck for the coming year, and people used to keep bits of burnt wood as protection against evil spirits. At the end of January, even further north, in the Shetland Islands, there's another fire festival, the Upheli Aa. This seems like an ancient festival, but has actually only been going for about 130 years. Well, It is fairly old, I suppose. People carry firelit torches and a Viking boat through the streets, then set fire to the boat. There's lots of dancing. It's good fun. Now, to the north of England. On Shrove Tuesday in February, otherwise known as Pancake Day, a special pancake bell is rung in Scarborough. Everyone goes down to the road next to the beach where they skip. Yep, they jump over long ropes, up to 15 people to one rope.
Whoa!
And they have pancake races. This is quite common in the UK, running with a frying pan and tossing a pancake at the same time. Another kind of race takes place in spring, cheese rolling. In Gloucestershire, in the southwest of England, round cheeses in round boxes are sent rolling down a hill, and people run after them and try and catch them. The hill is very steep, so people often fall over. If you take part in this, you need to be very fit and wear your oldest jeans. Nowadays, this strange custom attracts visitors from all over the world, but the people from the local village are usually the ones who catch the cheese. From people racing to animals. Very tiny animals. World Championship snail racing takes place in a village in Norfolk.
What?
The snails have to race from an inner circle to an outer circle, and the winner gets a lot of lettuce. There's a party and barbecue for the snail owners and observers. This custom began in the 1960s after a local man saw something similar in France. In the UK, we don't eat snails, by the way.
That is the end of part three. Now, you will have 7 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. That is the end of the listening test.